The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Okay, super. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. Both of them work on staff here, and so it's a blessing to be able to see that they can sing together as well and do a good job. Proverbs chapter 4, look at it in verse 1, where the Bible says, and I'm going to rehearse this before you again, it says, "Hear ye," it says, "children." It says, "The instruction of a father and attend to no understanding." I want to give you 10 principles to keep your family from backsliding. 10 principles to keep your family from backsliding. The Bible talked about Abraham in our Sunday school lesson this morning. The Bible says that God speaking, he says, "I know him, that he will command his children." So Abraham was known as a man that had great command over his children. Now, how is it that we as godly parents can try and give it our best effort to raise godly children? You know, I don't think it's enough today to have a goal to raise just good kids that don't get thrown in the jail and that stays off of drugs and that doesn't drink alcohol. I think you ought to go a little bit higher than that. I think that God, through the scriptures, teaches us that you have a mandate from him not to raise just good kids, but spiritual kids. So how is it tonight that you can raise a spiritual generation? We know that being spiritual is the opposite of being unspiritual. We would easily understand tonight that being godly is the opposite of being ungodly. Being drunk, I would dare say, would be the opposite of being undrunk or not drunk at all. Being somebody that is not on drugs, I would say this, the opposite of somebody that is strung out on drugs. And you know, you and I would agree tonight that we would rather our children be closer to that which is right than to that which is wrong. We would agree tonight that we would want our children to do their very best to not disobey, to not do things that would be harmful to their own bodies, their own minds, to not, if you would please, get involved in things, if you would please, that would hurt their process and later on finding and accomplishing the will of God. So what is it that we could do? How can we help with that? Let me give you some ideas tonight from the Word of God. Statement number one, give them good doctrine. Now, what is doctrine? Doctrine is teaching. That's what doctrine is. So give them good doctrine. By the way, there's good teaching and there's bad teaching. There is right teaching, there's wrong teaching. There is right doctrine, there's wrong doctrine. The Bible talks about there's the doctrine of demons. The Bible talks about that there is that which is good doctrine. So we ought to be able to take the Word of God and to give them good doctrine. We ought to be able to point them to a place where they can hear good doctrine. And by the way, they're not going to learn that at the movie house, and they're not going to learn that at Walmart, and they're not going to learn that in attending something that is ungodly to no end, but they will learn that in the house of God. All right, so we need to be in a place where our children, look, it would be far better to surround your child with that which is good doctrine than to surround your child with that which is bad doctrine. It just makes common sense. If you put bad in, eventually bad's going to come out. If you put that which is mediocre in, then eventually mediocre's going to come out. If you put that which is spiritual in, then eventually that which is spiritual is going to come out. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll stay in this particular proverb, Proverb 4, look at verse 2. The Bible says here, it says, "For I give you good doctrine, forsake not," it says, "my law." So here we see that a dad, we see that those that are parents are responsible to give that which is a child good doctrine. Now, by the way, listen, you know, many years ago, we would hear of great preachers that was preaching around, and here's what we'd do. We'd travel for 2 and 3 hours to be able to go and to hear a great preacher. Now, why did we do that? Oh, we didn't do that to impress our children. We did that to impress upon our children. We wanted them to be able to see these great men of God that was preaching while they were still alive. These great men of God that was getting up in pulpits and opening the Bible, and we wanted them to be able to hear the anointing of that which was the preaching of the Bible. Why? Because good doctrine changes lives. You know, it would be far better for you to decide that you're going to be a consistent Christian and be in church every time the door is open, simply because a church, would you agree with me tonight, is a good place. And in church, you're going to hear good things. And it would be better for your child to be in church and hear good music and be in church and hear good preaching and be in church and be around good people and be in church and have a good fellowship than to be someplace else that's not good. And by the way, may I reemphasize, what you put in is what you're going to get out. So statement number one, give good doctrine. We're talking about 10 principles to help your family not to backslide. Statement number two, set boundaries. Set boundaries. Don't allow your children to set boundaries. You decide that you're going to set boundaries. Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 4, the Bible says this. The Bible says, he taught me also and said unto me, he says, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments. Now watch the last two words, and live. So here's what he says. He says, not only do I want you to be able to have these things taught to you, he said to the children, I want you to retain them. In other words, I want you to make them personal. I want you to keep them in your presence. And then he said this, he said, keep my commandments. Now the end result of that is that you're going to live. Now it is far better to live than to die, because you're going to have a greater influence while you're alive than when you're gone. Once you are gone, your influence stops. Now, it may not stop that quickly if you're a writer. It may not stop that quickly if you have DVDs where you're speaking and influencing somebody or about your life. But can I tell you, after a long period of time, the influence will wane and eventually will cease. So can I tell you, while you have the ability, you be able to help your children to understand the words of God, retain them, keep them tight in their presence, and then to keep them, make them personal. Why? So that they can live. Set some boundaries. Set some household boundaries. I've said it often. I don't care what age you are. If your parents said you need to be in at 9:30, you don't come walking in at 9:35. Your parents say you need to be in at 10 o'clock, then you be in at 10 o'clock, not 10:02. I mean, if you're going to live in their house and walk on their carpet and eat their food and sleep in their bed and breathe their air inside of your room, pardon me, their room, then you need to be somebody that is obedient. And I think one thing that we lack today is this. We lack that which is just a common obedience. Now, nobody in here, and I'm going to get on a little rabbit trail because I like chasing those little rabbits. But no young person in here ought to sass his mom and dad. Amen. You ought to treat your parents with the highest dignity and respect that any person alive could give another person. You ought to rise up and greet them just like we teach these guys that when somebody older comes in front of you to shake hands, that they're supposed to rise and greet them. You'll find that in Proverbs. So why do we do that? We do that to help train them. By the way, somebody has to help train them. You know, when you come to church, somebody ought to be able to say, this is the way it needs to be done. And by the way, the preacher ought to be able to give you instructions, to be able to help you to guide that child the right direction and help that child to be able to turn out right. And hey, look, I thank God. I thank God for the young people that still like to dress up for church. And man, it's important to you. And so you dress up just like you're going in for an interview. And I thank God for that. But listen to me. There's more to being right with God than just dressing up. What about your attitude to mom? And what about your attitude to dad? Hey, how about giving them a little respect? And how about getting up and maybe fixing them breakfast sometime? And how about cleaning your room? And how about folding your own clothes? And how about doing some of the own washing in your house? And how about learning to be able to clean out the car and wax the car? And hey, don't be a lazy bum in the house. I'm saying, listen, allow mom and dad to be able to set some barriers there. Those barriers will help you. Come on. all of a sudden you start liking a girl or you start liking a guy, you give your mom and daddy veto power. Because they know more than you do. You know, all of a sudden when you get ready to make a financial decision, hey, why don't you go to your dad, to your mom and say, is this wise? You say, well, they don't know because they've already messed up their financial world. Exactly. So they understand what it is to mess something up. And in that itself sometimes is a great lesson. Come on. I went to my dad one day, and I said, Dad, I'm having trouble with my motor in my car. I had my very first car was a very expensive piece of junk. And it was expensive because it was a piece of junk. It was called a Vega. Four-cylinder hot rod. Red with a white stripe down the side. Black and white polka dot seats. Man, I could get in that thing. I could gun that thing. Get that thing up to about 30 miles an hour. No time flat. It drank more oil than it did gas. And it burped after every dosage of oil. Black smoke would roll. I went to my dad one day and I said, I think I'm having motor problems with my Vega. I said, how about if we take it apart and rebuild it? He looked at me and he said, Michael, have you ever taken a motor apart before? I said, but Dad, it can't be that hard. He said, have you ever taken a motor apart before? I said, well, no, sir. He said, well, if you want to, you go ahead. But I'm telling you, it's more to it than what you think it is. So I started to take the motor apart. Then I thought, I was getting into it, and I thought, I don't know where this stuff is going to go back to. So I started writing down, this screw goes in this here. I started trying to draw what it was. Can I tell you, it was a mess by the time I got done. I had to call in the Marine Motor Department to try and help me to salvage my problem. Now, look, boundaries. My mom and daddy was not saved, but they had boundaries. Can I tell you, you ought to thank God. You say, well, my parents are too strict. Did it ever occur to you that God, when he gave you your parents, knew exactly what you needed? Amen. Well, I wish I had so-and-so's parents. You don't need them. You need your parents. That's why God gave you your parents. Right. Well, I've watched so-and-so, and they've got nice parents, only in public. You have no idea what people are behind closed doors. I was at soul winning in Boston. We were going door to door, and we were at the bottom of the steps, and we heard some people hollering at each other and cursing at each other, and we heard things being thrown back and forth at each other. And so my soul winning partner and I, we took turns knocking doors, and we started to knock on the door, and I looked at him and I said, it's your turn. He looked at me and he said, no, you know more about soul winning than I do, and it's your turn. I said, come on, man, you're a chicken. He said, buck, 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 buck. He said, your turn. I said, okay, I'll do it. I said, but now, you're going to back me up, right? He said, yes, I will back you up. I said, great. I knocked the door, the cursing stopped, the hurling of the instruments, pans, whatever it was, televisions. I don't know what it was. You know, high chair, I don't know what it was. It all stopped. Man came to the door, and he said, what do you want? I said, hi, my name is Mike Wells. I'm out visiting from Anchor Baptist Church. I'm preaching revival this week, and this is my... I looked all the way down the steps, all the way out to the street. He's standing on the edge of the street. After I got done at the door, I went down. I said, what are you doing? He said, I told you I'd back you up. Look, set some boundaries. Set some boundaries. You know, in the boxing ring, you notice they have a rope around that? That's a boundary. All right, set some boundaries. In track and field, you have to run between boundaries. Set some boundaries. In parking spots, you are supposed to park within the boundaries. Set some boundaries. You know, have some boundaries in your life that will help to guide you in the right direction. And don't be upset with your parents. Do you understand that your parents are trying to help you? They're not trying. Oh, man, they're just being mean. Now, I don't think they woke up this morning and ate 5 pounds of nails just to see if they could spit them at you when you woke up. I think they're trying to help you. I think they love you. Don't get mad at the principal. Don't get mad at somebody in the academy. It's an academy teacher or the college administrator or youth director or activities director or a senior saint. Man, can you imagine senior saints getting mad at Brother Craig? You imagine that? Chasing him down the hallway. I was kidding with Mrs. Rush one day. I was over at Mrs. Williams' house, and I was just joking around with her. And I told her a joke, and I forget what it was, but it was a funny joke. And I told her a joke, and later on, she walloped me one. I mean, Mrs. Rush has got a punch. I mean, you know, and so I told her this joke, and she finally got the joke, and she said, "I got it," almost knocked me out the window. And look, I'm saying, you know, there needs to be some, don't get mad. Don't get mad if we set boundaries for the choir. Don't get mad if we set boundaries for the Sunday school teacher. Don't get mad if we set boundaries in the bus ministry. Don't get upset if there's boundaries inside the home. Those boundaries are not bad. Those boundaries are good for you. Statement number one, how is it that we can keep our families from backsliding? Give good doctrine. Statement number two, set boundaries. I'm going to hasten. Statement number three, exalt wisdom. Listen to it. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5, the Bible says get. Now it tells you what to get. Get wisdom. It says get understand. Two things you're supposed to get. Then it says forget it not. Then it says neither incline thy words, it says, of my mouth. Now watch this. All right, so he says don't decline the words of the mouth. He said you got to get the wisdom. You got to get the understanding. He said forget it not. Then he said in verse 6, Proverbs chapter 4, and in verse 6, he said forsake her not. Then he says preserve thee. Preserve thee. They're going to preserve thee when you forsake them not. Then if you love them, here's what they're going to do. They're going to keep you. All right, so don't forget the wisdom and the understanding. Why? Because they're going to do two things. If you forsake them not and you keep them, they're going to preserve you. And here's what they're going to do. They're going to keep you. So don't forget those things that somebody has taught you that is wise things. We need to be in hot pursuit, not having that which is fame and riches, but more so honor, integrity, character, things that we're supposed to do because they're right to do. Statement number three, we're supposed to exalt wisdom. Statement number four, we're supposed to lead by example. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, and I taught thee in, it says, the way of wisdom, and I led thee in right paths. Now watch, it says, in the way, in right paths. Somebody said this, example is not the best method. It's the only method. Example is not the best method. It's the only method. Eventually, you who are not living for God, your children will throw that back in your face. Eventually, you become their handicap. Eventually, you become their excuse. I've seen it happen over and over again. All of a sudden, a young person becomes a teenager, and dad sloughed off, or mom sloughed off, and they were not serving Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, this young person becomes a teenager, and I've seen young people, they should not do this. This is not an excuse, but it is a reality. And I've seen teenagers look at their parents and say, "You can't tell me what to do because you're not doing it." Well, take the excuse away. You know, it would be very simple to take the excuse away. And I'm not saying a child is right for that. And I'm not saying that it is a right thing for a teenager ever to talk that way, or a young person ever to talk that way to their parents. No matter who your parents are, no matter what they do in life, you ought to respect them. You ought to love them. You ought to honor them. You ought not use them as an excuse for you to do your wrong hastily or unhastily, publicly or privately. But I am telling you tonight, if you as a parent don't want to see that happen in your kid's life, live above reproach. You be the one that is way up here rather than down here. Learn to take the high road. Learn to give that example out so that they have something that is worth following. Well, how come you're not going soul winning? Well, you're not. Well, you know, how come you're telling me I can't do this? You're doing this. Live by example. Have the common decency. It was Lee Robertson said this. He said, if you want those that follow you to jump 10 foot, you better be jumping 20. Hey, that's important. Statement number one, give good doctrine. Statement number two, set boundaries. Statement number three, exalt wisdom. Statement number four, lead by example. Statement number five, teach them to learn. Teach them to learn. You know, you might have to repeat it over and over again. We learned that from Brother Crutcher last time I preached. But you might have to repeat it over and over again. Because nothing is properly taught, someone said, until it's fully caught. So you might have to repeat some things over and over again. No, we don't touch that. No, we don't touch that. Talking to the baby. No, no, no. Spank the hand just a little bit. Oh, but if I spank the hand, I'm going to warp their mind. If you don't spank the hand, they're going to warp your mind later on. Amen. Learn to discipline. You know, come on. Learn to discipline your children. Learn to help them. Give them directions. Give them directives in which way to go. You know, the Bible talks about how you and I are not only supposed to set those boundaries and set that example, but we're supposed to teach them to learn. Have your children repeat after you what they're supposed to do. Make sure it's clear. Son, I need you to take out the trash, talking to a 9-year-old. Now, what I tell you to do? Take out the trash. Son, I want you to take it out tonight. Tonight, I want you to take it out. Have it out by 7. Son, when are you going to take it out? Tonight, Dad. What time? By 7. Okay? Tell me what you're going to do. I'm going to take out the trash. When? Tonight. What time? By 7. Repeat it. Let them repeat it. You see, the key to learning, I believe, even in our Christian principles, is to be able to have those things taught to us and repeated. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, talks about that there was not one time that's a good time to teach them, but there was 4 times. It talks about the time at eating, the time of travel, the time before bed, and the time of waking up. So God, even He Himself, has put down certain times in the Bible where it's a good time to teach people. Why? Because as they're sitting down to eat, they're sitting there, and it's a great time to be able to teach them because you have their attention. While traveling, before bed, upon waking up in the morning, but use those times to teach them. Statement number one, give them good doctrine. Statement number two, set boundaries. Statement number four, statement number three, exalt wisdom. Statement number four, lead by example. Statement number five, teach them to learn. Statement number six, be separated. Be separate. Don't allow the world to put hooks in you that is going to pull you down into the mire. Don't do that. Oh, but preacher, I'll tell you what, I think it's okay just to drink as long as it's social drinking. That's a hook. I just gamble a little bit. It's a hook. Well, you know, I just watch some of the bad movies on the flat screen. Sometimes it's a hook. Well, when I get in the car, I listen to the music that is suggestive and the music that is a worldly control. It's a hook. The less hooks you have in you, the less you're going to be pulled down. Look, in an unrighteous world, I'm telling you tonight, you can live righteously, you can live holy, you can live purely, you can live for God, and God wants you to live for Him, but you've got to decide, you'll rise up, you'll take the challenge, put God first, put yourself second, live for God, help others to live for God, keep your eye on the mark. Over in Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 14, the Bible says, enter not. In other words, don't go in. It says, enter not into the paths of the wicked. Don't even enter into it. Don't enter into it. Well, I'm going to go to the bar and drink milk. No, go home and drink milk. You know, I've been invited to this wild party down at the workplace, and man, you know, I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of booze there, a lot of drinking there, but not me. Not me. I'm not going to do it. I've heard that 100 times or more. And the person normally fails. The peer pressure, even on adults, is enormous. You put yourself in any given situation, and you could wind up being destroyed. The Bible says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not, it says, in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn, it says, from it and pass away. Come on. Walk into a gas station. They got the wrong type of magazines there. You ought not to be staring at it, looking at it. Turn your head away. Turn your head away. We used to travel in evangelism, and sometimes we'd turn the television around, and we'd say, okay, we're going to see if we can find an old flick on there or something like that. And all of a sudden, there were some broads that was dancing across the platform, half the clothes on and half the clothes off. And my little daughter back then would even do this. She'd rise up, she'd run in front of that television, she'd stand up, she'd go. Say, why'd she do that? Even a little kid knows. We pulled up inside of a grocery store one time. I forget which kid it was, and back then, because they were all kids, they weren't adults. And but we pulled up inside of a grocery store parking lot, and I wasn't paying attention. The car was keyed, and windows was down. It was hot. It was in Mississippi, and it was just hot outside. And somebody pulled up beside us, and they had blaring rock music. I mean, ba boom, ba boom. I mean, it was rock music. You know how it goes? Ask Brother Palmore. Ba boom, ba boom. And so they pulled up inside and right up beside us, and my little kid edged himself out of the window, and he said, "That's bad. Turn it down." Say, what'd you do? I looked at him, smiled, said, "Way to go, bud." Then what'd you do? I left. Come on. You know, kids sometimes, they can say the right things at the right time. I was preaching in a church in Mississippi. The pastor was standing back there with me, and I was standing by the back door. And, you know, we believed in leading people to Christ and watching people get baptized and helping them to make that decision. We've done that ever since salvation. So I'm all about soul winning, and I'm standing by the back door, and the pastor is telling me, one of my boys walked by. The pastor's saying, "I don't know what the problem is. We've not seen anybody saved in our and baptized in our church in probably close to a year. I just don't know what the problem is." One of my kids was walking by as the pastor was uttering those words. So they decided to do their own investigation. So they went up and they looked in the baptistry, and there was a Christmas tree in the baptistry. Yelled back to the back, all the way across the auditorium, people in the auditorium, getting ready for revival. God's going to work, change lives. Yelled all the way back, "Hey, I know what the problem is, Dad. The reason they've not had anybody baptized, there's a Christmas tree in the baptistry." My face is turning red. Come on. I'm saying, but I would rather have somebody, now, don't get me wrong when I say this, but I'm trying to help you a little bit. See, some of you are getting embarrassed by your children. Because your children are trying to stand for righteousness, and they're going a little bit farther than what you're used to. You start to watch something, and all of a sudden something pops up, and they get up, and they say, oh, I got to go. I'll see you later, Dad. And they go in the other, and you're getting upset with them. Don't get upset with them. Hey, thank God for them. Cheer them on. I remember when I was a young preacher, I was excited. I was running back and forth. I used to hit the pulpit all the time. I don't know where I got it from, but I used to hit it all the time. I mean, all the time. Matter of fact, when I first came here, I think I was still doing that. And then I hit the pulpit. Hey, this is what God says. I'm telling you, this is what the Lord wants. You want to be on His side. I'm telling you, rise up and go. I'd hit that pulpit. I had teenagers that would come to hear me preach in youth camps and whatnot, not to hear the message. They wanted to count how many times that madman hit the pulpit. When I was in evangelism, I know it was 12. The number sticks in my mind, 16 pulpits. I have no idea. I get so excited. I was just so excited about preaching. I was just so, boy, they got to get it. I'd run back and forth, and I had so much energy. I don't have energy today. I mean, back then I had energy. Today I'll go, then I'll come back to the pulpit for a reason. I got to hold on in case I faint. I won't fall flat. I'm staggering at the promises of God. And man, I had energy and I was running back and forth and I'd stand on the pulpits. I mean, I'd preach, I'd climb up and I'd give it everything I had. I'd spit. I was having fun in Jesus. I was tired by the end too. But I remember I was energetic and I'd hit those pulpits, and I broke about 12 preachers' pulpits. I was preaching for Brother Ann Dallas many, many years ago, and he had a glass front, beautiful pulpit, beautiful pulpit. He had a glass front right here, picture of a world, beautiful. I started rocking that thing back and forth. I started hitting it on the top. Split the world in half. I mean, the glass just split right in half. He said, you split my world. I was preaching for a dear brother up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We walked in and he said, preacher, he said, my people have sacrificed. Let me show you. Man, we're walking around. He's showing me everything. He said, this pew. They sacrifice for this pew. This covering. And he was very emotionally attached here. They sacrifice for this covering. He said, you know, these hymn books. He said, my people, they work so hard for these blessed hymn books. I mean, he was emotionally getting into it. He's walking this piano. But I mean, he's just, you know, this microphone. He said, and most of all, my pulpit. He said, that's a beautiful pulpit. I get the privilege to preach from it every week. I'm so happy I've got a pulpit. Now, it was made out of compressed wood. And if you're rough with compressed wood, it doesn't last. Well, I was so excited. I was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You know, millions of people there to reach. Man, we're going to have preachers that was going to come in and hear me preach the next day at a preacher's meeting. I mean, we were just going to, it's going to be good. So I started off. And I thought, I'm going to give it everything I got. I'm going to motivate these people. Woo! Time I get done, they're going to charge hell with a squirt gun. Woo! God's going to move. It's going to be so good. And I got up there, and boy, I was an eager beaver, and I was shaking that thing, and I was hitting that thing, and it started to fall apart. Broke a big old piece off right up here in the corner. I mean, just a big old piece. He was really into the message, and he was listening to me, and so I said, that's what it is. Yes, that's what it is. Took that piece, put it right there. Slid my Bible right up there. Now, there's something about preachers. Preachers, I don't know what it is about preachers, but they don't like touching another preacher's Bible. I don't know if we're strange birds, but we don't like picking up other preachers' Bible. That's sacred to them. So I didn't pick it up. Just had it right there. Had my name on it, Dr. Mike Wells. Knew he wasn't going to pick it up. Left it. Hope that he had been in on this thing about preachers not touching anybody else's Bible. Sat down. Got done preaching. Everybody left. We're standing out there in the lobby area. I said, I need to tell you something. He said, what, man, it's great service. Wasn't it? I said, yeah, but I need to tell you something. He said, what? You look very serious. I said, yeah, I'm serious. I broke something of yours. You what? I broke something of yours. You what? Where? I said, in the auditorium. He said, you show me right now. We walked in the auditorium. I kid you not. It was tense. We're walking past the pews. Did you break anything in these pews? No. And I was walking on the pews that day. I mean, I was having fun. I was being me. So I'm walking on the pews. I'm spitting. Guys had their hands up on the back of the pews. I'm stepping all over there. We're just having a good time. Walked up on the platform. He said, it was on my platform? I said, yeah. I said, preacher, I'm going to tell you before I show you. I will replace it. You can keep my offering. Do whatever you want to do. I am so sorry. But I've never broken anything that I don't try and pay for. It's my fault. I got carried away. I broke it. No matter what it costs, I'll pay for it. He said, what is it? I said, it's right there. You broke my pulpit. See, I'll pay for it. You know, that dear gentleman would not talk to me for a while until right before the service. He called me up. He said, look, it's okay. A gracious man, loving man, caring man. So who is he? It's none of your business. But he forgave me, and I was so glad. You know how much that pulpit would have cost? But he said, really, I should have got a heavier duty pulpit because I knew that I'd have guys like you coming through. Now, I'm going to say this. Look, in your life, listen to me, you need to decide that you are going to separate. If the world can get excited about that which is unrighteousness, and the world can get excited about their beers, and the world can get excited about their drugs, and the world can get excited about their ungodly rock music, and the world can get excited about their fashion that is sensual and wrong and deployable, then pray tell me tonight, why can't we have a generation of Christians that will rise up and get excited about God, get excited about righteousness, get excited about holiness, get excited about purity, get excited about the Bible? Why can't we have a generation of, hey, why is it that you let your kid just do wrong and wrong and wrong and you turn your head like an Eli? Why don't you stand up and say, no, that is not going to happen. No, we're not going to do that. Yes, we are going to do that. Why don't we have parents the way parents used to be? Why is it that we just kind of let the world raise our children? You're trying to be politically right in your own house. when that is not what God wants you to do. Listen, be separated. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, they sleep not except they have done mischief. So the world says, man, I'm not going to sleep until I find mischief to get into. The Bible says here, says their sleep is taken away unless they cause some, watch it, to fall. There are people out there that want you to fall. Why are you going down to that fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, soul winning, separated Baptist church? You know, why don't you go to some other type of outfit where you don't have somebody that shouts? Where everybody's dead. Can I tell you, the pulpits of America is what has kept America righteous. Come on, it used to be even the presidents would call the great men of God in and say, hey, tell me what to do. How many presidents have we had gone by in so many years that would call somebody in and say, I need your wisdom, I need your help, I need your direction. Well, what would God have to do in this situation? But we've taken God out of our society. We've kicked him out of the public schools. We've kicked him everywhere that he rightfully deserves. And I'm saying that it is about time that you, as a child of God, rise up and at least love your kids enough to tell them the truth. I'm saying be separated. Watch this, if you will. Statement number 7, promote righteousness. Promote it. Your son comes home and says, hey, look, he said, Dad, I led somebody to Christ. Hey, that's wonderful. I'm so proud of you. Dad, you know, I tell you what, I stayed out on a bus route today, and I helped 3 families decide to make some right decision. I'm so proud of you. Your kids get up and sing in the choir. Watch them. And when they're singing, applaud them when they come into your presence. Hey, I'm so proud of you. You realize how many kids in America are so messed up and you're singing in a church choir? Wow. That's good. That's wonderful. These kids that don't have moms and dads that attend our church and they come all by themselves. And there's a whole bunch of them. Can I tell you, they're trying to live for God. They go to public schools. They're carrying their Bibles. They're acting right, walking right, dressing right, behaving right, living for God, people making fun of them. And they just smile and say, well, God loves you. Praying over their meals. Not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Hey, thank God for that. Kids that are in our Christian school, and can I tell you, the Christian school, listen, it's a godly place to be. Got godly teachers. There's no rock music down the hallway. And I thank God for the 69 students we have in our academy. And I thank God for the example that they set. But can I tell you, even in a Christian school, you're going to have an egghead or two. Even in a Christian school, you're going to have somebody that's going to try and climb over the rules or break through them just so they can do more wrong. And boy, I tell you, when somebody does that, they really want to do wrong. Now watch this, if you will. So there has to be some boundaries. We have to be separated. We have to promote righteousness. Listen to it. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, the Bible says, the path of the just is as a shining light, and it says, that shineth more and more into the perfect day. So it's a path of righteousness. Statement number 8, keep your heart. Keep your heart. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues. That's the decisions of life. So keep your heart in tune to know the right direction. Statement number 9, control your tongue. Control your tongue. Don't have a tongue that's out here waving back and forth. Back and forth. Look, if you disagree with somebody, you go to them. Somebody's offended you, you go to them and them alone. You don't use your tongue to flap it up and down. Well, let me tell you, I disagree with that Sunday school teacher. By the way, don't kill your marriage. Don't kill your marriage. You got problems with your wife, your husband. Don't destroy your family. You take care of that right there. Don't go all over the place and say, well, let me tell you about my wife. Why are you trying to hurt her character? Why are you trying to destroy her testimony? Don't do that. Don't do that about your, well, I got a sorry husband. No, don't do that. You know, I mean, of course, things pop in my mind. A lot of times I think opposite. Somebody says something and my mind just automatically goes opposite. That's just the way that God made me or something. I don't know. But, you know, I think when somebody says, well, I got a sorry wife. And I would say, well, sure. I mean, you know, look who she's got to put up with. But, you know, I'm saying this tonight as kindly as I can. Control that tongue. Don't destroy people. Don't hurt people. Love people. Encourage people. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. It sounds like I've got to put it on. That's right. The Bible says put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're exactly right. You have to put him on. You have to decide. Come on. You can choose all day long to walk around and be miserable. You can. You can. I'm telling you, you can. Or you can walk around and encourage some people. You don't have to walk around all the time smiling. Broke my arm. I'm bankrupt. Tires are flat, all four. That's not real. I mean, that is not even real. But you don't have to walk around, woe is me. You don't have to walk around sucking your thumb, both of them, and all five of your neighbors. You don't have to do that. Control your tongue. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 24, the Bible says, put away, it says, from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Amen. So put it far away. Learn to believe in people. Learn to encourage people. Learn to stand beside someone and say, yes, you can. You can do that. You can. By the way, God can do that. We got a young couple in our church, and he's trying to get a certain job, and from time to time his wife will text, and I answer back just this: God can. God can. God can. Now, if we could get a hold of that, you'll enjoy life a whole lot better. Amen. Just realizing that God can. Well, I'm praying, but God's not answered. But he can. Right. Well, I'm soul winning, nobody's getting saved, but God can. Well, I'm trying to live for God, but it's not working out to my benefit, to the way I thought it should work out, but God can. Statement number next, control the tongue. Statement last, here it is. Train your eyes and your mind. Train your eyes, train your mind. You know, you could walk out of here tonight and say, man, I tell you what, that was a phenomenal church service. Train your eyes, train your mind. Rather than going around saying, well, I saw so-and-so there tonight, and they weren't paying attention. What are you doing looking at so-and-so? Why don't you be listening? Train your eyes and train your mind. Come on. You know, we have people that are busybodies, and all they want to do is straighten everybody else out. When can I tell you, you've got a massive mess on your hands to straighten out. It's called you. You know, instead of going around the church saying, well, I tell you what, well, that person's not perfect, and that person's not perfect, and that person's not perfect, and that person's not perfect. Well, look in the mirror. Come on. You'll see somebody else that's not quite arrived yet either. You know, you're not going to find a perfect person in this church. You know that? You know that? Do you know that? I mean, you don't have a perfect pastor. You don't have a perfect staff. You don't have perfect teachers. Come on. Somebody says, well, man, nobody wants to be my friend. Well, then that's your fault. Bible says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. You must not be showing yourself friendly or you would have friends. That's a Bible promise. So if you don't have any friends and nobody wants to sit beside you, number one, change your deodorant. Number two, be friendly. You know, you don't always have to sit beside yourself. You could go up to somebody and say, hey, come on, come here, let's sit together. Let's do it. Hey, come, sit beside me tonight. We'll listen to preaching. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Heard he's got a hot one tonight. Think he's got a hot one tonight?
Think so?
Man, it's going to be good, son. Woo, man, I am so ready. Man, I can't wait for church. Woo, it's going to be so good. Are you excited about church like I am?
I'm excited.
Me too, man. Preacher gets up to preach, you know, and oh, wasn't that good? Man, that was so, hey, man, woo, come on, preacher. You say, oh, I would never do that. Well, you could do this. Amen. Could do this. Could do that. That's a Weslowski thing. I have pastored this guy long enough, I know him. All of a sudden, I'll step on his toes, and he'll go like, what's he saying? Don't touch me, man. I'm from Chicago. Yeah, I got it. I got other people, you know, I'm preaching along, they'll go like this. You don't know this. You're married to them, but you have no idea what they're doing. You think they're being spiritual. They're not. You see the hand go up and you think they're going like this. They're not. They're going like. I'm not talking about you, Brother Sweatman. Don't worry. Thank you, watch. I'm saying this. I'm saying that, you know, you train the eyes and you train the mind. As a man thinketh, talk to me. As a man thinketh, so is he. You train the eyes, you train the mind. Watch the last three verses, I'm done. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 25. The Bible says, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids, watch it, look straight before thee. The other night, the other day, the 29th of January, Rebecca turned 20. My daughter-in-law, Heather, I was looking for ways, my wife and I, to surprise her, and Heather texted us an idea, trying to help us to innovatively figure out what we could do. And she texted me a picture of balloons, helium. I was going to say hydrogenated, but no, helium balloons. Helium balloons. And it had all different notes attached to it. And I thought, hey, wow. She likes the color purple. That's her favorite color. And she likes white and some other things. And so pink. And so we got her favorite colors. Well, I didn't. I sent Heather to get them. I said, hey, that was a great idea. Here's my credit card. I said, can you go pick those up? She said, oh, sure, Dad. I'll be glad to help. Anything else I can do? I said, yeah, take them to the house. So she was a great help. Then I had Brother Jonathan to get all the Academy girls, as many as would want to write her a happy birthday. I mean, she's 20. You only pass that way one time. I mean, now you're stepping into old age. And so she's leaving her teenage years. And then I had Mrs. Cavanaugh to as many staff people as she could find that was on property at the time. And I realized some were not here because it was just a fleeting thought to fill out a little birthday type of thing. And so my dear wife and I had set the alarm for 5 o'clock the next morning. We had it all figured out. This is going to be so good. I mean, we got up. Erica, we got up that early, and we took those birthday cards. We punched holes in them. You ever seen that done before? Really neat stuff. And then we took the string, and we put it through the hole. We tied it. But what we failed to do first is to separate all the lines. So now we have a mangled mess. So now we go upstairs and for a half hour to 45 minutes, we're trying to get untangled. You can't untangle cards and string. It's impossible. They wrote that in a book somewhere. And so we said, okay, we know how to fix this. Get the scissors. I'm going to start all over again. Separate them all out. About an hour and 15 minutes later, after getting all this stuff done, we sneak into her room. My wife is in the hallway handing me the balloons, and I'm trying to tiptoe over and place one there and tiptoe. And I mean, she had like, I don't know, 59 outfits on the floor. No, I'm kidding. She didn't have nothing on the floor. But anyway, I was trying to take and get around and put them over here, and then she moved. And I thought, oh. And I stood still like, I hope she doesn't notice my body. And I saw her head move, and I thought, I try not to make any noise. And then she put her head down, and I thought, got more balloons. The next day I asked her, I said, did you see me in your bedroom? She said, yeah. I said, you're a bum. But can I tell you, listen, you can train your eye. I didn't see your eyes open. Now watch it. You know, sometimes your kids are watching you and you don't even know it. You know, kids aren't dumb. They watch you. They watch you when you laugh, watch when you're happy. They watch you when you come to the altar and pray. They watch you when you have a burden. They watch you when you can't buy something. And, you know, they perceive that there's some money challenges. They understand that. They understand when there's challenges and maybe the stress is high. They understand that. You know, they understand that when you play games, you like to cheat and pretend you don't. They know who you are. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, the Bible says, ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Verse 27, last verse, he says, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Hey, look, wouldn't it be just a wonderful thing to have a family that just loves God? Amen. I mean, the old-fashioned way. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, where just God is first. Where, you know, we come to church, we read our Bibles, we pray, we go soul winning, we tell somebody about Jesus, we give somebody a gospel tract, we help people along the way, we encourage people. Wouldn't it be great just to have the old-fashioned family? You know, nowadays you can't watch anything on your screens that's modern. I mean, they're pushing wrong lifestyles. Traditional families are out the door. You know, you need to go back and watch the Andy Griffith stuff and the Father Knows Best stuff and My Three Sons and stuff like that of yesteryear in order even to get an idea of what America was really like back when I was coming up. But nowadays, you got all sorts of stuff. Your kid starts watching all this Disney stuff and all this other stuff, you know, and then they start picking up patterns and they start wanting to follow different Disney characters and Hollywood stars and stuff like that. And then when we preach about what the Bible teaches about certain thing, they stare at us like a calf staring at a new gate. So foreign to them. Because they're putting so much of this other stuff in that true Bible Christianity, the way it was always at one time in America practiced, is so different. Nowadays, you even got churches that they've compromised so much you can choose what type of service you want to attend in the same church. Do you want to come to a traditional church service? You know, that's where the people go that's 40 and older. I'm sorry, 60 and older. Or do you want to go to a contemporary, live, fantastic, excited, bombastic, God-centered church service? It's rock and roll, drums on the platform, bunch of ladies twisting their fannies across the platform. It's like you're going to a miniature rock concert. It's not the way God intended church. I said that's not the way God intended church to be. Now, you listen to me. I'm saying this, if you put the right things in, you say, well, you know, I'll tell you what, preacher, you have this type of church, I don't think it'll ever grow. We have grown, thank you. Amen. We're going to continue to grow, thank you. Amen. We've only put 5 years in this thing, we've already more than doubled. Let's go another 5 years and double it again.
Amen.
Then let's go another 5 years and double that.
Amen.
Look, though, I've got those visions, you know. I do. Brother Crutcher gave them to me. You know, we have a thing, you know, Brother Crutcher, he's a neat guy, and all these guys are, but I kept coming in and tripping over guys over here, you know, and I couldn't figure out when to come in. And so then I think of these things, I'm just so smart. I figured it out. He sits to my left. To you, that wasn't nothing, but to me, that was big. Because I said, look, whenever we come in, I'm just following you. I can tell you when his wife does not take his suits to the dry cleaners. I can tell you if it's wrinkled back here. I can tell you if he slept in his suit in the afternoon. Oh, wait a minute. You say, you're just cutting up. Yeah, because I'm going to tell you, church doesn't always have to be. Now, sometimes it needs to be that way. But you understand that God's place can be a happy place. You understand you don't always have to be stuck up and hung up. You can walk around and smile. I said to this dear young man, I said, man, I'm so glad you're here tonight. This is neat. I'm honored you're here. I like that. Brother West, I'm glad you're a member of our church. Brother West joined me, and we were trying to encourage Joseph out here, just receive Christ as Savior. Let me tell you the story. And then, Joseph, you here tonight? Is he here, Brother West? He didn't make it in. Let me tell you a story. He said, man, nothing went right. He said, I'm so excited. He said, let me tell you, God is so real. He says, driving by, I didn't know if I'd be welcome in this church or not. Most churches would not welcome my type. That's what he said to me. He said, but I walked in, and he said, everybody was friendly. Nobody stared at me. Everybody was friendly and shaking hands. He said, I could just feel like I was welcome here. He said, it was so good. During the invitation time, I don't know if he raised his hand, Brother Nosa, I don't know what happened. Brother Nosa walked him down, led him to the Lord. He got saved. He got baptized. He said, you don't know how bad I needed that. He said, nothing has gone right in my life. He said, I lost my wife. I've lost my job. He said, nothing. Nothing's gone right. He said, I sat up and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, dear God, you're my God now. You're my God. Amen. You can help me. You're my God now. Amen. And he said, I prayed till early in the morning. He said, all of a sudden, he said, the boss called me from years ago, and we started communicating. And he said, what are you doing? And he said, you know, I need a job. And he said, you're hired. Amen. He hung the phone up as my God. Amen. It's my God. And all of a sudden, he started communicating with his wife, and he told his wife, and his wife said, you got religion, and you got God. Hey, maybe things can work out. He said, that's my God. Can I tell you tonight, God is alive, and God is real, and you can trust him tonight, and you can go to him, and he can help you with your problems and help you with your family, and you can raise a godly family. Yes, you can. You can put the right things in to get the right product out. But can I tell you, it's work. I'm done, but let me say it. No parent likes to get on to their kids all the time. We love you. You know, it hurts us to have to tell you what to do because we feel like it hurts you. And we don't want to hurt you. Amen. And every parent in this room, if they're honest before God, they wrestle with this. They wrestle with this. My son is starting to do wrong. My daughter is starting to do wrong. And I need to correct them. I need to tell them, no, you can't do that anymore. But there's the chance if I tell them that they can't do that anymore, they're going to get mad at me. It's going to be horrible in the house. They might even rebel. And then there's that goes through the mind. Should I or should I not? Should I or should I not? If I do, what am I going to have to put up with? If I try and take that stand, what's going to happen? But you kids could help out a whole lot. If you just go to your parents and say, I want you to know you got my heart. And if you see something in my life I need to correct, not only will I not give you an attitude, all you got to do is tell me once, it's done forever. You'll never have to bring it up again. And as long as I'm in your household, I'm going to honor you. You could take the pressure off. You could take the pressure off. Mom won't have to go to bed and cry of a broken heart. She can go to bed and cry with tears of joy, saying, wow, what a kid. Come on. You can set those things in your life. Father, help us tonight, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.